excited about. I want to encourage your church this morning. I want you to give yourselves a bit of a pat on the back, but not for too long. There's a lot more to do. But sometimes we get up and as church leaders, we speak about something and we can be excited about it and we can be sowing a vision. And sometimes it, you know, I've done this in the past and you feel like it's just sort of going out there somewhere, you know, you're speaking words out into the atmosphere. But what has excited me is that the way that you have actually got hold of this series on connection and the way that you are connecting with people. And so well done. I'm really excited by what you're doing, the way you're going about this. And if you like, I think we've only just seen the tip of the iceberg. Did you know I just got a... Somebody deal with this for me. Alex is flying to Sydney. And my phone just popped up with a text message saying, my flight has been cancelled. Can you pick me up? Ali is, she's studying at the moment. She's doing a master's in leadership at Alpha Crucis College. That's the, if you like, the flagship college for our movement for Australian Christian churches. And so she's doing an intensive there this week and she had to fly up there today. And I dropped her off at the airport on the way. And anyway, a plane isn't gone. So anyway, let's get back into it. So connection, you know, we've only probably hit the tip of the iceberg. You see, what we're talking about with connection, we're talking about, you know, connecting with God and connecting with people. And did you know that sometimes we say, oh yeah, it's all about God, it's not about us, and that is true. But did you know the way that people connect with God mostly is actually through people? Did you know that most people that meet God, that find a meaningful relationship with Him, it has actually been somebody that has gone and told them about it? And you know what the Bible says? It said, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. In other words, somebody who walks across the room, somebody who walks across the city, somebody who walks across the globe, somebody who gets up from where they are and goes and connects with somebody else and says, do you know what? I've got some good news for you. I've got some news that can change your life. I have got something inside of me that can bring about change to you, that can bring hope to your situation, that can bring faith to your world, that can give you something that can never be taken away. And the Bible said, blessed are the feet of those that move from where they are and go to a place where they start to connect. And you know that God connects with people. Sometimes He does amazing things. I read a story about Tom's father the other day, and we'll talk a bit more about that in the future. And he just was a bit like God just met with him while he was in his bed. And sometimes God does that because nobody's feet move. Nobody actually moves to go and share the love of Jesus with somebody. He's got to bypass us sometimes. But you know, mostly the way that He works it is when somebody gets up and their feet start to move and they walk out from where they are, they walk across the room, they walk across a city, they walk across a nation, they walk across the globe and they say, I've got some good news for you. Do you know that God loves you? And there's all sorts of ways that we can share that. Sometimes it's practically, you know, by putting the dress on a lady's back or whatever it happens to be. But we are actually meant to go and connect with people and people find God through us. And it's not because we're anything special. It's because Jesus lives in us and He enables us to connect. You see, if we want to be people that connect with God and connect with people, we've actually got to know how to connect. Sometimes we can be all passionate about this stuff, but we can just be a little bit awkward about it. And you know, we find ourselves wanting, I've seen people that are really, really passionate about God and, you know, they're standing up and they've got placards and you've got stickers all over their car and they've got all this stuff going on, you know. God is love, and if you don't believe in Him right now, you're going to go to hell. And, you know, you've seen all this sort of stuff going on, and in the most part, it actually repels people. You see, because what God actually wants us to do is He wants to connect with people in a meaningful way so that they can find Him. So we got to understand and we got to know how that we can connect. And I want to speak to you this morning about some ways that we can connect. I want to talk to you about living in a groove or living in a zone where you find yourself connecting with people easily. Sometimes we get outside of that and we find ourselves very awkward. I'm not a I'm not one of those natural, you know, really smooth people that just lives in the groove all the time. I've actually had to work on a few things. I've had to have a few rough edges bumped off so that I can connect with people better than perhaps I did once. And I think most of us are in that zone. Most of us have got to do those things. Did you know? Let me indulge for a moment and speak about cars for a minute. It's going to be really simple. You're going to all understand this. But in your car, you know, you have a steering wheel. Whose car's got a steering wheel? Actually, I heard a story in South Africa about they've got these minivans that run around everywhere. And they're quite dangerous if you sort of don't understand the culture. And this guy had pulled his steering column to pieces and the steering wheel had fallen off or something. And he was driving the car with a pair of vice grips, you know, like a pair of pliers sort of stuck to the steering column. Anyway, I assume your car's got a steering wheel. So you've got a steering wheel, and in front of the steering wheel, you've got what are called gauges or instruments. I know a lot of you don't look at them, but they are there. And who knows that it's a good thing to look at them. And they're probably the only two that most of you look at, really, is the speedo and the fuel gauge, isn't it? You don't care about the others. You just speedo and the fuel gauge, because who knows that it's better to look at the fuel gauge than get towed off the Tasman Bridge. Has that happened to anyone here? Will anyone admit to that? I tell you what, I've driven over sometimes and I've been praying on the way over. Lord, I just got to get over here and get up to that BP on the other side. But a lot of vehicles, and particularly if you've got a sports model or something like that, you know, in the older style cars where we had round gauges, that there were two gauges, two big round ones, and there was the speedo, and there was another round one, and it was called a tacho or a tachometer. And what a tachometer actually does is it tells you how fast, not how fast your car's going, but how fast your engine's going. It tells you how fast your engine's spinning round. And it probably has numbers on it, something like 1 to 8 or something like that around there. And if you look, it sort of has all sorts of colours on it. And often around about the 6, around about the 5.5 or the 6, it has a red line. And that's sort of like the red zone, and petrol heads refer to that as the red line. Has anybody heard about redlining, you know? So when you talk about redlining, you're talking about driving your engine, you're making it go so fast that it's actually up on the red line. And that's a terminology that often gets used. Now the reason they put that there is you know, it flips around as you change gears and most of you don't care about it. But the reason that it's there is that there's an optimum place for your engine to run and run well. And if you generally, if you go over that red line and you continue, it's not so bad with new cars because they've got things called rev limiters. But basically with older cars, if you continue to drive your car up over that red line, up in that red zone, you're in a position where your engine is probably not operating at its optimum level, but also that you run the risk of doing damage to your engine. And I remember once my brother and I, he was driving my car because something had happened to my license, fallen out of my pocket or something. And anyway, my car was one of those cars that had money spent on it to make it go faster and make it rev harder and all those things. You know, you don't want to know about that. But anyway, we were driving across the bridge in Devonport. And as we went across the bridge, you know, he was probably racing somebody else and you know, revving it out and making that taco thing go up really high. And all of a sudden, it stuck there. The accelerator stuck down. So it was sort of up on, I remember really clearly, it was up on 6,000 revs. And then he put the clutch in because he didn't want to run into the car in front. And I remember it went up past 7,000 revs and it was continuing to rev. And I'm a bit concerned because I'd spent a lot of money on this engine. I remember I reached over from the passenger's seat and turned the key off on the other side. Now, in that short period of time where it had gone way up there, it actually did some damage. It actually bent some things in the engine, which we fixed up, and everything was cool. But you see, what happened was that ran out of its optimum zone. It actually ran out of where it was supposed to function, and it actually did some damage. You see, the reality is, in life, you have got a zone where you can live. You've got an optimum zone where you can operate. And the problem with us as people is often we don't understand where that zone is. We don't understand what the zone is where we should operate. And we find ourselves like going into the red zone or into the red line and past that place where we operate well. You can live there for a while, just like a lot of cars. You can drive them up on the red line all the time. But if you continue to run them in that place, you'll actually shorten the life of the engine or it'll just unexpectedly blow up one day or something like that if you do that. Now, the reality is you can live in that red zone. You can live past your optimum level. You can live outside of that groove. And yeah, you can still function. You can do a whole lot of things, but you're not going to connect with people and you're not going to connect with God in the same way that you can if you're prepared to live in the zone that God created you to live in. So let's have a look at our Bibles. Romans 12, chapter 3. Romans 12, verse 3. And it says this. If you haven't got your Bibles, watch on the screens. It says, because of the privilege and the authority God has granted me, and the New King James Version says, for I say through the grace given me. What Paul is saying here is he's saying, I speak out of the authority or I speak out of the grace that God has given me. He says, I'm not going to go beyond that authority. I'm not going to go outside of the privilege I've been given. And this really, I believe, is the key to the success of this guy that planted churches. The key to the success of this guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The key to this guy that we still talk about today. The key to this guy that did all sorts of amazing things. The key to this guy that we call the Apostle Paul because he went out and he planted all these churches. You see, he lived within the limits or the sphere that God had created him to live. And I'm not talking about being ruled by limitations. Last week we talked about Gideon, a guy that was actually ruled or he was held back by the limitations that he imposed upon himself. I'm not talking about that. I'm actually talking about us choosing to live within the limits that God sets for us or living within the sphere that he has given us. So, for example, who enjoyed worship this morning? Worship was absolutely fantastic. We had Fee and we had Sam here leading us in worship. And we've got people in this church that are gifted to do that. They can sing. They seek God. They can lead worship. That is actually on their life. They're able to do that. We've got people like Alex and Katie and Jemima and others that are really gifted to do those things. Now, for example, You guys are show me the grace and you sit through my sermons and you stay in this place, and that's absolutely fantastic. And now imagine if I sort of decide that I'm going to take on a new thing, that all the cool people they worship lead, you know, I just get to preach. And I decide to get into this different zone, and I start to sing. Or actually, you know, when I come up, the band are doing their final bit. You know, and I come over here and I grab the guitar. Sam, look, can I have your guitar? You know, the Lord has laid upon my heart this week. You know, I was in my bed and I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a song, and the three chords that I know, a G, A, and D7, and I'm going to write a song to those chords, and I want to sing it to you this morning. Now, I guarantee by the end of that song, in this place would only be the very tolerant and the very nice. The rest of you would be gone, 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 gone. Now, you might laugh at that. But that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us being prepared to actually live within the grace or live within the faith that God has given us. You see, I don't have the grace. God has not gifted me. He has not given me that anointing on my life to lead people in worship and write songs and sing songs. I can't sing at all. Now, if I get outside of that, I'm actually trying to press into something that perhaps I was never created to do, and God never actually gifted me to do. And you might laugh about that as a crazy example, but there are people who live outside of the grace all the time. There are people that they find themselves not connecting with people. There are people that find themselves discouraged in their relationships. They're disappointed with life. They're angry with God. And there are all these things going on, and nothing really ever works for them. And they're in that place. And it's not necessarily that God's giving them a hard time. It's not that God's trying to put them through the ringer to sort of get something, squeeze something out of them. It might just be that they're not living within the grace that God has given them. It might just be that they're not living within the zone that they were created to live. It might be just that the disappointment comes when we get outside of that place and we start to try and live in a place that we were never meant to be. We get outside of our grace. See, when we become comfortable in our own grace, there is something very attractive about that. Yeah. When we become very comfortable in that, when we live in that groove or in that zone, we find ourselves building connections and we actually become a connector. You know, people are attracted to those that are able to sort of live in the groove and live in the zone where they're created to live. Because there's something very nice about that. There's something very, very attractive about being into that place. And you know, you've all met people and you say, oh, you know, that person's a climber or that person's a gold digger or, you know, all sorts of terminologies that sometimes we throw about. But what we're talking about is often when somebody is actually trying to crawl outside or reach through the grace that they've been given. I'm not talking about putting limitations on your life. I'm not talking about putting a lid and saying, you know, you need to stay down there. What I'm talking about is getting before God and understanding what He's created you to do, where you're supposed to live, and starting to live in that zone instead of trying to reach outside into something else that perhaps that is not your thing. Perhaps that's not the grace that is given you. You know, when in a work situation, for instance, you know, you've got a certain amount of authority that you've been given. And you can make all sorts of decisions. You can do all sorts of stuff within that authority. And you can function really well in that place. But you know that sometimes you step outside of that authority and you start to make a decision that was the boss's decision to make. And you were never empowered to do that. What happens then? You get friction. You get conflict in the workplace. But whatever you live and work within that zone, that authority that you have been given, you know, it's much easier and things flow better and things work within that place. That's what we're talking about living in the grace that we've been given. And then Paul goes on, he says, I give each of you this warning. Don't think of yourself better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Listen to this. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part is a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Isn't that amazing? You've been given gifts to do certain things well. And he goes on, he says, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. You see, and that's a real easy one to talk about. I often jump up and start a message, and sometimes, you know, I feel that God has given me a word for somebody, and I might pray for somebody. And the thing is, but I can only prophesy within the faith that God has given me. You see, when I step outside of that and I start to make stuff up to sound good, I actually get outside of the zone that God has given me. And that's where we've got to live. We've actually got to live within the faith God has given us. There is incredible freedom in the faith that God has given us. There is not talking about being limited within that. There is amazing freedom when we function within the faith that God has given us. And then he goes on, he says, you know, if your gift is to serve purposely, serve enthusiastically. If you're a teacher, teach well. You know, if you're an encourager, encourage people, because my word, we need encouragers. You know, if it's giving, we'll give generously. If it's leading, lead, take it seriously, develop that gift. What he's saying is there are different graces on different people. And I just want to encourage us, if we're going to build God connections, if we're going to build those God connections, we've actually got to measure ourselves by the faith God has given us. measure yourself by the faith that God has given you. You see, what happens is we've got an inclination to measure ourselves by the faith that God has given other people. You see, if I start to measure myself as a minister by the faith that God has given other people, I live in an awkward place. You know, I went to the opening of C3 Church's new building on Friday night. It was absolutely fantastic. They've got a great facility. They've done incredible things, and we could not be happier for them. It's just absolutely, I'm so pleased to see something like that in this city. But if I start to measure myself by that, and I come looking here, our projectors are a bit smaller and this and that, and you know, all those things that are human nature that we start to do, well, what happens is I'm not living by what God has given me, because God has given me an amazing group of people here. You know, you're all on the journey with us and we're so pleased. You know, God has brought just so many things into our world, just like he has in your world. And what we've got to do is we've got to live in that grace, we've got to live in that faith, and not be trying to measure ourselves by the faith or the grace that God has given other people. Because that is their grace to have. That is where God has asked them to live. God has asked you to live within the grace that he has given you. And when we get hold of that, there's an incredible amount of freedom in that. I'm not talking about just being slack and saying, oh, well, I'm just going to shrink back and be over here because that's all the grace that God has given me. I don't believe that. He's not given you grace to shrink back. He's given you grace to go all the way, but he wants you to live with inside that grace and live in that place. You know, we can be inspired. We can be spurred on by other people. When I was in C3 on Friday night, I was inspired. I was spurred on and I was encouraged. But I want us as a church to go to where God's calling us within the grace he's given us. In other words, we don't replicate what they do. We don't replicate what Hillsong does or anybody else. We actually function within the grace that God has given us. And it's an exciting place to be when we live within the grace that God has given us. And verse 3 in the New King James Version says, God has dealt each one a measure of faith. That means anybody that comes into the kingdom of God, anybody who has that connection with God through Jesus Christ, that God actually deals you a measure of faith straight away. It's a bit like when you come into that place, you don't miss out. You are actually dealt a measure of faith, and you're actually to be able to function and move within that measure of faith. God has actually given you all you need. You know, live within the measure of faith that God has given you. So let us live within the limits, but not the limitations. You see, God has actually given limits. God has appointed us. There is a zone, there is that groove, you know, that grace where we can operate. Or as Paul says, within the measure of faith that you've been given. And Jesus touches on that. We're in Matthew 11:28, and I love the way the Message Bible it says. It says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. Who's ever felt like they need to recover their life? Man, you know, it went out of control this week. It went into a spiral. Some stuff went on, and I just need to get my life back. I need to recover my life. And you know, sometimes it can be much, much bigger than that. And we've got to get into that place. And Jesus says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real risk. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Isn't that cool? Isn't that the place where we're supposed to live? Isn't that the place where we're supposed to function? That is the place where I think we become amazing connectors when we live in that zone. See, in the job that I had when I first moved to Hobart, I was employed as an auto electrician. That was my trade. That was my background. And I liked doing that, and I was actually quite good at that. I was okay. God had given me I had a measure of faith or a measure of grace within that zone. I could do my job quite well. And I remember before I left Devonport, and I remember praying about the sort of job I wanted. And I remember I wanted to get some experience on some other things. So I was employed in this place as an auto electrician. But where I'd been previously, all we had were auto electricians. Like anybody that worked there, if they weren't in the admin department, which was one person, they were an auto electrician. You know, we were all auto electricians. Now this job I got when I went into here in Hobart, we had welders, we had diesel fitters, we had fabricators, we had all TAs, we had all sorts of people. But I was employed there as an auto electrician. But when within that zone, within that place, I was the expert in the place. You know, whenever somebody cut a wire, oh, Sparky, come over here, you know, and you suddenly, you know, you were the expert. You knew all about that sort of thing, you know. And the thing was, though, when I didn't have electrical work to do, I was doing other stuff. I was doing general diesel fitting. I was doing, you know, real blokey stuff. We were pulling apart 600 horsepower truck engines and rebuilding them. And I loved it. I thought it was exciting. And I sort of understood a bit about it. But what I'm saying was, I actually, while I was doing that, I needed to be under the covering of somebody else that knew more about it than me. I needed to be actually, if you like, under that measure of faith with somebody else who was the expert in that field. You see, when it came to the electrical stuff, yep, I was the man, you know, in that little pond there. I was the guy that they went to. But when I moved outside of that, I could function quite well in that. But what I needed to do was realize that there was somebody else with a measure of grace or a covering that I could go under. And at times, you know, I can remember getting outside of that. I can remember struggling with things. And it was when I stepped outside of what I had, the gifting that I had and the skills and all those things that I had. But whatever, I functioned under the covering of that. We did amazing things, you know. I got to experience and do things that I never would have done otherwise because I was prepared to get under the covering of other people. So don't be scared. When you get into a place, you think, I don't understand this, and you know, maybe I'm not gifted for that. You know, in your workplace, in your church, in your family, there were people that do it better than you. And why not come under their covering? You know, parents, you know, your wife, she'll do stuff a whole lot better than you. There's all sorts of things that she'll do better than you. And you don't have to compete with her. You don't have to try and show that you can do those things better than her. You've just got to actually come under the covering of what she does in that thing. And likewise for the wives. There'll be things that your husband and, you know, different couples dovetail and do all those things differently. We're not wired the same. You know, not every bloke's good at money and you know, not every woman's, you know. Sometimes a woman actually needs the help of the guy to bring some nurture, all sorts of things like that. But we've just got to understand we function within the grace that we've been given. Let's decide that we're going to do that. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13. And it says this, it says, I love these verses. It says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. There's a lot of themselves in that, isn't there? And it says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere God has appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. So what Paul is saying here, obviously through the Holy Spirit, Paul is saying we know the limits of the sphere that God has appointed us. See, if your sphere is business, you know, and you've got a great leading in that, you know, go. Fly, do everything you can within that sphere. Build the kingdom within that sphere if that's what God has placed on your life. If you're a songwriter, you know, write songs, do everything you can, go for it within that sphere. If you're a person that's got the gift to be able to shepherd people, to love people, to pastor people, to look after them, go and do everything that you've got in that sphere. But just because you're created to do that, and perhaps you think, well, I can't preach or I can't sing or I'm not good in business, it doesn't mean that you're less a person. You're going to be your best when you function within that sphere and the grace that God has given you. You see, as a church, we need to become great connectors. We need to be connecting people in our church. We need to be connecting people in our relationships. We need to be connecting people to our life groups. We need to be planting more life groups. We need to be doing all that. But to be people or connect, you know, we need God to be able to function in us, and we need to work in that groove where we become attractive and people are actually drawn to us. To do that, you know, we need to be able to live in that grace zone. We need to be able to function in that place. So there are some ways that we find ourselves outside of the grace zone. We find ourselves actually getting outside of that. And I spoke just as a little example of that with when I was in the workplace. But But some ways that we get outside of the grace zone of our life. Number one, and it's there in Corinthians, it says that you class yourself, that we class ourselves. You know, I deserve this. I've put in the hard yards around here. I deserve, you know. I've been in this job for so many years, and then they've given the job as the team leader to somebody else. You know, I deserve that position. You're starting to class yourself when you do that, right? I've been in this church a long time, and they recognize other people and not me. And you know, we can feel like that sometimes. And maybe you do deserve a bit more. Maybe people have missed you. But the Bible says it's actually God that raises up. And if we can get in that place and allow him to do that, we don't class ourselves, or, well, you know, I deserve honor, I deserve recognition, or, you know, sometimes, oh, well, I don't do that, I don't do this sort of thing, and I don't do that, and, you know, I don't hang out with bogans, and, you know, all these things that people say, we actually class ourselves. You notice that everybody calls somebody else a bogan? You know, oh, I'm not a bogan, you know, there are bogans over there. Just be careful. You see, when we class ourselves, we start living outside of the grace. We start reaching for what we deserve. And it's amazing. You see, when we're in the groove, those things actually come to us rather than having to reach for us when we start to class ourselves. And, you know, I think it's something I love about Australia. And, you know, we know we have classes and we have all those things. But compared to some places, we're reasonably egalitarian as a nation, and so let's not start to create classes. Let's not start to look down your nose at people that live in a different suburb and they speak a different way and they've got different values and all those sorts of things. Let's not class ourselves. When we class ourselves, we get outside of the grace zone. We find ourselves outside of the grace zone when we compare ourselves. You know, comparison causes disconnection. It causes disconnection in churches. It causes disconnection across the body of Christ. It causes disconnection in society. And there'll be those that want to brag about themselves and you know, draw you into comparison. Don't go there. Don't go there. You see, when you get into comparison, you get outside of the grace zone. Yeah, comparison is an ugly place to live. It really is. And we talked about David earlier on in the series. We talked about the way that he connected these people to himself and they went to amazing places. And there's an interesting thing. You see David, when he was this young boy and he comes in and he, just through his amazing faith and trust in God, and he slews the giant Goliath, and suddenly he becomes a national hero. You know, he was the winner. And when he got back, when you know, it all wrapped up, they're all singing songs in the street. And they're singing about the king. And they're saying, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. You know, it was a euphoric moment. It was a great moment for the nation. But inside Saul, suddenly this ugly comparison thing starts to rise up. And he starts to see that people are classing David above him in his mind. And all he needed to do was start to function in who he was. He was the king. He was the anointed king. And he only needed to function in that. But he started to compare himself with David, and everything unraveled. Everything got ugly. Everything got awkward out of that place of comparison. See, comparisons, they will disconnect. You know, there's always somebody bigger. There's always somebody better. There's always somebody faster. There's always somebody better looking. You know, have you found that? Last Thursday night, a week ago, my riding buddy Stewie and I, we were riding down to Kingston. It's a lovely ride to ride through Sandy Bay and over Bonnet Hill to Kingston. So we're riding along and we're sort of in the groove, and sometimes I get a little bit competitive, and I saw this guy up ahead on a bike, and it was he looked like he was going along pretty well, and I thought, you know, Stewie, we should ride up there. We should get alongside him and just sort of ride along with him. And Stewie said, no, we'll be right, Dave. Anyway, so we keep going along. That's all cool. Anyway, we ride down to Kingston, And the cool thing is we went down to Kingston Beach and we took a shortcut and we got ourselves back up onto the, Bonnet Hill coming back around. And the next thing, this guy comes up behind us and he passes us again. And so anyway, we just let him go. And we got to the top of the hill and suddenly I had to go. And so I thought, I'm going to catch this guy. And the thing about road bikes is downhill, if both riders are game, you can't sort of gain much on each other. So I'm just giving it everything I've got, and I'm flying down the hill into Sandy Bay, and finally by about the where that pub is, the Riverview round there at Taroona, I caught up with this guy. I nearly pedalled my lungs out of my chest, but I caught up with this guy. And anyway, we're riding along through Sandy Bay Road, and we're talking, and I was riding probably about 5 k's faster than I'd normally ride, and you know, we're chatting, and you know, it was quite a good experience. But you see, what I'm saying is I know that if that guy wanted to leave me, he could have done. That guy could have ramped it up to another level, and I wouldn't have been able to keep up with him. I would not have been able to catch him. There was always someone faster. There was always somebody better. Now Stu and I, we're riding along. And we could have compared ourselves. We could have classed ourselves amongst ourselves. Like, gee, you're riding well today, Stewie. Oh yeah, you're going pretty well, Dave. Gee, we're pretty good, aren't we? Aren't we a fantastic team? Actually, I reckon we ought to book our tickets for the Tour de France next year. You know, there's something going on here. You know, we could be the Tasmanian team. Forget about Team Green. We're Team Tasmania. We're going to take this thing on. And what, you know, obviously we know, you know, that we would have absolutely no hope. You know, we wouldn't even make it. But the thing is, what we can do is we can compare ourselves, we can class ourselves amongst ourselves. And then you find that there is always somebody better. There is always somebody faster. There is always somebody that can go to that place. So let's make sure that we don't get drawn into comparisons. You see, I had great fun actually catching the guy, and at the end of the day, I didn't care that he could ride faster than me. It was just a bit of a thing. But if I'm eaten up by the fact that this guy can go faster than me, it's actually going to affect, it's going to take the joy away from the bike riding that I actually do. There will always be somebody that is faster. There is always somebody. So we've got to find ourselves and live within the grace zone that we've got. I'll just whiz through these really quickly. Number three about getting outside of the zone is that we commend ourselves. You know, the I thing. I. Did you know that sometimes I encourage you to find other words for I? Sometimes you can say we when it's just by yourself, and people say, who's we? Well, it just sort of, you know, it sounds a bit nicer than I, you know, and rah, rah, rah. And just make sure that you don't get into that zone of commending yourself. It actually isolates you. Psalm 145, verse 14, it says, the Lord upholds those who fall, and he raises up those who are bowed down. So let's allow God to raise people up. We can find ourselves outside of the grace zone when we start to measure ourselves. You see, measure yourself by the faith that God has given you, not by other people. And number five, we can get ourselves outside of the grace zone when we start to overextend ourselves, when we become a people pleaser. When we start to look and compare ourselves, and we extend ourselves outside of that, and we get in people pleasing. At Energizer College this week, it was interesting. We were looking at different leadership gifts in the different styles of leadership within our leadership subject, and we were talking about all these different styles of leadership. And And as we talked about that, we found that most of us were quite different. We functioned in different ways. We functioned in different realms. There were different things that excited us. There were different things that we were drawn to. But what we've got to be careful to do is that we don't feel like we've actually got to seek out another gift to please somebody else, to get ourselves in another place. You know, as we spoke, it was almost like as people talked about a gift, it was almost like, oh, well actually, that one's more important than that one. And it's actually not the case at all. That's just human nature for us to feel like that we raise certain things up. And we find like we've got to sort of extend ourselves and start striving into that place where we're not going to function the best. If the band want to join me, please, that would be really cool. And number six, we find ourselves outside of the grace zone when we start boasting about another person's sphere. It says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere that God has appointed us. Boasting beyond measure, taking credit for somebody else's work. You've all struck that, haven't you? You know, when you get, it happens in workplaces and things all the time. You know, someone comes in, oh yeah, I've worked here and I've worked there, and you know, and I've done this, and I set this up for this guy, and I did that over there, and you start talking to him, you think, man, how old are you? You're 35, and you've just had 100 years experience. You know, how did all that happen? And it's not an attractive thing, is it? It's not an attractive thing when we start to boast, when we start to take on the credit of what somebody else has done. Why not give God the credit? Why not give God the credit for what He's done in your life? Why not give God the credit for what He's doing through your life? And why not allow God to raise those things up in us? We don't have to do that. We don't have to start the I stuff. We don't have to start to boast, in what we've done or what somebody else has done. And I know you guys know this stuff. I know you understand how it works. But my word, it actually sneaks into our world very, very easily. It starts to come in. And then sometimes I have to pull myself up at times where, you know, some of the language I use, I hear myself using I and, you know, and we're gonna, and all these things that actually start to come into our world. And to be able to just get a check in that and say, God, just help me to exercise some humility in the way that I speak. Help me to exercise some love in the way that I speak. Help me to reach other people in that. You see, if we operate within that zone, if we operate within the measure of faith, the measure of grace that God has given us, you know, you're going to get in the groove. You're going to be able to live, and you're not going to be striving. You're not going to be reaching for something that you haven't got, but you're going to do amazing things. There is an incredible freedom in the faith that God has given you. And God doesn't want to limit you in that. There is just, in Him, there's almost no limits. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that you know, we are often only limited by our own imagination. It says actually God has got more for us than we can ever ask, think, hope for, or imagine. See, so God is not a limiting God. He just wants us to live within the level of faith, within the sphere that God has got for you to live. And when we as a church, when we as families, when we as businesses, when we start to function in that place, it's absolutely amazing. You know, often a football team or a sports team that wins an event, and it was really sad to see what happened to the Hawks the other night. 2 points, terrible, terrible, terrible. But often it's not always the most talented. It's not always the most gifted team that wins. It's often the team that understand the sphere that they were created to live in. And each player plays within that place. Each player plays to his strengths. And I've said something, I've got no idea why it was so funny. It's great that it was. As we finish, Matthew 6:14 says, it says this, it says, in prayer, there is a connection, listen to this, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. In prayer, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. If we want to be real connectors, if we want to live within that grace zone, we've got to find ourselves in prayer. We've got to get ourselves into that place where we're understanding the heart of God. It says, you can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, well, you cut yourself off from God, or you cut yourself off from God's part. See, let's be prayers. Let's be people that decide that we're going to live in that grace zone. Can we stand, please? know, the most amazing grace, the most amazing zone that we can actually live is when we accept what God has done for us, when we accept that He's loved us beyond measure. It says God has given us a measure of grace to live in, but God actually loves you beyond measure. God reaches out to you beyond measure. There's no limits to that. There are no bounds. It doesn't stop anywhere. And if you this morning, you know, you're thinking, well, I'd like to live like that. I'd like to understand what it is to get away with Jesus and just experience those unforced rhythms of grace, to be able to live in that place, to be able to, you know, feel like, you know, some of the pressure has been taken off. You know, not feeling like you're striving to please somebody, feeling like, you know, you've just got to get all these things right to get there, where you want to just experience that love that knows no limits, that knows no bounds, where you've got somebody that understands. Somebody that understands everything that you're going through at the moment. Somebody that understands where you've been. Somebody that you don't have to please. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is turn up. All you got to do is turn up into His presence and say, "Here I am. Here I am. I just want to accept Your love. I thank You that You died for me. And I choose to accept that." This morning, if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to make the most important, the most significant decision that you could possibly make, I can lead you in a prayer now. And the prayer goes something like this. It goes, "Jesus, I thank You that You are God. I thank You that You're King of Kings. I thank You that You love me. I thank You that You love me so much that You died for me. And right here this morning, I choose to open myself to You, and I ask You to come into my heart. I ask You to come into my life, and I'm going to follow You. I'm going to choose to follow You for the rest of my life, and thank You for saving me. Thank You for reaching out. Thank You that I can experience Your love and Your grace." And this morning, if anyone would like to do that, we just close our eyes, bow our heads just for a moment. If you'd like to do that this morning and you've never prayed a prayer like that, or maybe you have once, but you know you're not close, you're not connected to God this morning. You want that connection. Why don't you just slip your hand up and I'll lead you in a prayer. And we'll pray together. We're all going to pray here in just a moment. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, "That's me, Dave. I would like to make that call this morning. I'd like to pray that prayer." Just slip your hand up and say, "That's me. I'd like to do that." Maybe you're just not feeling close to God this morning. Stuff's gone on and, you know, you maybe haven't been in church for a long time, but you're here this morning. Here this morning, and you feel like God's speaking to you. If that's you, just give me a wave. Say, "Hey, that's me," just while no one's looking around. So that's me, Dave. I would like to pray that prayer this morning. Exciting thing is, in church, nearly every week, people make these sort of decisions, and they open themselves up to God, and they experience an amazing freedom. If that's you, just say, "Hey, Dave, that's me." Praise God. Fantastic, fantastic. Well, we're going to go out praising our God. We're going to go out celebrating what He's done in us. And you know what? We're going to go and we're going to live a week in the grace that God has given us. You know, you can become a connector of people. You can connect people to God through yourself when you live in that zone. If you want prayer for anything, please come to the front here and we would love to pray for you. We'd love to do that for you this morning. Anything at all. We've got a service on this afternoon at 4 p.m. in the Derwent Valley. That's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm looking forward to that. God's doing great things in the Derwent Valley. And of course, we will be here 10 o'clock next week. And don't forget your life groups. Be in your life group. Bring somebody to your life group. And consider starting a life group this week. It's been great to have you in church. Thanks.